It's good to be here, or 'tis good, Lord, to be here, as we sang. Thank you again for the privilege of not only sharing the message with you today, but helping you in the journey to find your next shepherd and pastor, and keep you in my prayers as well throughout that process. Today, as we look at the transfiguration of Christ, I'm going to talk about the peaks or the mountaintop experiences that we have, and also we come down off of the mountains in everyone's life. We have peaks and valley experiences, and how Jesus was helping prepare the disciples too for some of the valleys they would face. So today, as we think about what happened on that mountain, we'll see the change that happened in Jesus' appearance. We'll see the company that came alongside of Jesus there, Moses and Elijah. We'll hear a command both from the Father to listen to him, but also from Jesus, an interesting command where he says, don't tell anyone what you've seen, at least for a while. And it's a reminder for us too that it's important for us, and I think every Sunday, our Sabbath day, our day of rest and worship, it's a time to retreat. And I hope you always think of this as sort of a mountaintop experience for you in worshiping the Lord, receiving the Lord's Supper, hearing that word read and proclaimed, and to be strengthened as we come down off of the mountain of worship experience to go into our everyday life to be a witness for the Lord. So don't want you all to say out loud right now, but I can ask you, are you on a peak right now, or are you in a valley? Maybe you're going through some challenging times right now, or maybe things are going quite well, and it feels like a mountaintop experience for you. But that is the reality of life in this world. There are a lot of ups and downs and challenges and joys, but it's great to remember that just as the Lord was present there with Peter and James and John, he is present with us, both in the highs and the lows of life. And for the disciples, this mountaintop experience, I think, was meant to help prepare them for a valley that they would go through, certainly a challenging time, because it wouldn't be very long, and Jesus would be making his journey to the valley of the shadow of death as he went to the cross. And right after this, once again, he's predicting his death, that he is going. In fact, in Luke's gospel account of the transfiguration, it says Jesus was talking to Moses and Elijah about his upcoming death and eventual ascension, resurrection and ascension into heaven. But before that, they got to see with their own eyes at least a glimpse of the amazing glory of God. And I wonder how often later on in their lives and in their ministry, they remembered back to that moment and the power of God shown to them in that glimpse of Christ. You know, and we're getting ready to enter into this season of Lent as well, and it's good for us to have this glimpse of the glory of Christ. And blessings on your Wednesday services as you seek some wisdom from the Lord in that book of wisdom, Proverbs, as well. But going up on a mountain, too, with Jesus when we come here on Sundays, I think also helps prepare us for our own personal challenges. So let's think about what did we see? What did the disciples see with their eyes? What change took place? And we say transfiguration, that comes from the Latin. In Greek, we get the word in English metamorphosis from it, right? The changing of the form or the appearance. And again, how awesome it was to experience God that way. You know, and we even have that phrase, we talk about mountaintop experiences, and you can think about Abraham going up on the mountain and the glory of God dwelling there. And even when Moses came down, just sort of the afterglow of being in that presence of God, he had to cover up his face because he was shining with some of that glory of God as well. So the appearance of our Savior is changed, and again, the Father speaks from the cloud. But we see an amazing company there. And did you ever wonder, how did James and John know it was Elijah and Moses? And I think it's one of those scriptures that reminds us that we will know and know one another just as we are known, as the scripture says. When we are in heaven too, we will still be who we are, but without sin. And if you think about why Moses, why Elijah? Well, Moses, of course, was the receiver of God's law. And it's sort of, I think, a reminder to us that Jesus came to be the perfect fulfiller of all of those commandments of God. That's why the Father says, not only is this my Son, not only is this my beloved Son, but with whom I am well pleased, because he was perfectly keeping the commands of God where I can't and you can't. But also Elijah, one of the great prophets. And think of all the prophecies of God and the promises of God. You know, there's over 300 messianic prophecies, and Jesus is the fulfiller of those promises and prophecies as well. So the keeper of the law and the keeper of the promises and prophecies, indeed, his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. And then the Father gives us a pretty awesome command from that cloud. He sort of answers the question that Jesus asked in the previous chapter of Matthew. If you remember, Jesus says, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they say, "Well, some say you are Elijah, or one of the other prophets, or John the Baptist." And then Jesus asks, I think, the most important question every human being can answer. "But who do you say that I am?" And of course, Peter gives that great confession of faith. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Father gives his answer too. "Who does the Father say he is?" "This is my Son, my beloved Son." So truly God, truly man, in the one person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's a pretty important answer for us to know that too. He is the Christ. And for us to confess that with our lips and with our lives and with our hearts as well. And the command that the Father gives to us, listen to him. Not just to listen, you know, and to have understanding, but to listen and follow, to listen and obey. And certainly God in his word and Christ in his teaching gives us not only commands, but wonderful teachings and invitations as well. But as I said, Jesus gives, and it often seems strange, I remember as a kid saying, why would Jesus tell them not to tell anyone? Aren't we supposed to go and tell? It's right over there on that banner. I see it. Tell the good news. But he said, no, there will come a time. I think Jesus knew that if the crowds, the masses who were looking for an earthly king, you know, to wipe out the Romans, if they saw the power that Peter and James and John saw, they might have tried to prevent Jesus from going to the cross and carrying out his very rescue mission for us. You see, many of the crowd wanted an earthly king, but Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So a time would come for them to come down off the mountain and to tell the story of Jesus' glory. And so we have that recorded for us in the Gospels as well. But in many ways, the mountaintop experience is a bit of a retreat for the disciples. Let me reread the first verse of Matthew 17. "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves." And Jesus did this. He himself would retreat and have prayer time with the Father. And we see that too as we draw towards the end of Lent and on Maundy Thursday, when Jesus goes and retreats to his prayer place there when he was in Jerusalem, to the Mount of Olives. But a retreat, you know, it is a time to get away. And so Jesus sort of draws that inner circle, Peter and James and John, with him so they could see this vision and be strengthened for what was to come too. And again, I think of the blessing of this retreat, to be able to get away from our everyday lives and to come here on Sundays and be fed and nourished and forgiven and strengthened as we come down off the mountain of worship and go to the work the Lord has entrusted to us. But it's also a time to see the glory and the power of Christ, to know that, and to me this is an amazing thought to think, you know, sometimes we think, well, that was just for then. Is Jesus still doing that now? And the answer is yes. The same Jesus who revealed himself and is transfigured there on the mountain is the same Jesus who is present with us. Not just here in worship, certainly is here, and he will be here in this wonderful sacrament as he unites himself, body and blood, with this bread and wine. But he's with us on Monday and Wednesday and Saturday too. We have his power and his presence with us as well. But too, I think, many times in the mountaintop experiences we see, it wasn't just a time to get away, but it was a time to get some new or renewed perspective on the Lord and on life as well. A lot of times people will say, well, I'm going on a retreat, and maybe they'll even say, I need to go and find myself, right? Maybe you've thought of that. And in fact, one of the guys that's in our small group, he was asking for some advice because a friend of his is going on this retreat. And I said, well, you know, the key thing as a Christian is we're not going to find ourselves as much as we are going to find Jesus and to find him in a deeper way. You know, in a lot of retreats, and meditation has the idea of like emptying yourself. But as a Christian, when we retreat and we meditate on the Word of God, it's not to be emptied, but to be filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God and to be strengthened in that faith. But I think about Abraham, you know, and he and Isaac were going up on the mountain and God was testing his faith. Even on the way up the mountain, he says to Isaac, who says, hey, where's the sacrifice? We got the knife, we got the fire, we got the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham trusted the Lord would provide. But think about how his perspective changed after coming down the mountain, after seeing the Lord provide. In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. So Abraham and Isaac, too, had a whole new perspective and understanding coming down off the mountain of how God provides. And I think Peter and James and John had a new perspective of really knowing and having that reaffirmed that Jesus is the Son of God who became man for us. So we really do learn a little bit about who we are, but because we learn who he is. And even more importantly, I think truly understanding who we are comes from understanding whose we are, that we are his. And because we have been forgiven and blessed with faith and forgiven in the waters of our baptism and in the sacrament of the altar, God calls us his beloved children as well, his sons and daughters, because of what his beloved son, Jesus Christ, did for us. You know, and Peter's like, hey, it's good to be here. Let's just stay here. I'll put up some tents. And the Lord was like, nope, we're going down off the mountain. It was time to get to work. And again, Jesus was making a journey every step closer to the cross and the empty tomb and his resurrection and his ascension for me and for you. And it would be time for the disciples to get to work as well. Even though for a time they were to be quiet about this revelation of Christ's glory, eventually they would tell the great good news of who they saw. Jesus Christ witnessing to who he was, who he is, the Son of God, his beloved Son. And when we leave this place too on Sunday, we go to work and we witness to the same Jesus, the beloved Son, and we witness both with our lips and with our lives. In the name of Christ and to his glory, amen.